This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Tosche Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Tosche Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're breaking down the long-awaited Episode 7 cast announcement. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And before we get too much further, a note from our sponsors. Tosche Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook just by signing up for a free trial. So click the link on Tosche-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And Her Universe has just debuted a few new shirts in celebration of that pun day known as May the 4th. And there will be more merchandise coming out soon for Star Wars weekends.
So I think we've come to terms with May the 4th not being our personal Star Wars Day, but rather International Star Wars Day.
International Star Wars Day.
We have not accepted the puns to be our symbol of Star Wars.
Nope. Well, because, you know, it didn't release in every country in the world on May 25th, so. And I don't need another day to give me an excuse to wear a Star Wars shirt, but I'll take it wherever I can get it.
For you, Nancy, that's a day that ends in Y.
No, it's a day I don't go to work.
There we go. Hey, we got a guest on the show again. Bria, you know, it's almost like we haven't had you on in one whole show.
Yeah, it's been a very long time,
guys. It's
been
a long week.
I've missed you desperately.
Bria is back to help us break down the cast today. But before we go much further, Nancy, what's new on the blog?
I was just thinking we need a special Bria theme song.
We do.
We need to brainstorm on that.
Audience, if you have suggestions for a Bria theme song that we can use.
I just bought Hooked on a Feeling. We can just use that.
What? No. I'm vetoing that one.
Okay. Well, speaking of Bria, you went to AwesomeCon and you had an awesome time and wrote a roundup on the blog with awesome pictures. And I'm sure you'll talk about that in the next segment, but go ahead and look at it. I always love Bria's comics roundup because she always has great cosplay pictures of some people I know and some people I don't, but I will always know that Bria will educate me about cosplay. Bria also reviewed Legacy number 14 and Rebel Heist number 1, and Emily reviewed Serenity number 4. And in case you haven't heard, a little cast for a movie called Episode 7 was announced last week, and people on the internet had things to say about it, including us. We had lots of things to say about it. Some things in response to things other people were saying about things we were saying.
How deliciously meta.
Right. So Brian assured people that it's okay to feel conflicted about the casting announcement because people were really excited about some things and some things not so much.
And some of the people listening to this show right now sigh and say, well, this episode's going to be a downer.
It's not, because I have Luke Skywalker to talk about.
We're excited about things. You people don't believe us when we say that, but we are.
I made an observation about women who speak in Star Wars, and it really wasn't pretty. And if you need a reason as to why we talk about this, Revenge of the Sith has one woman who speaks in the entire movie. One. And that's Padme. And she dies.
So, of a broken heart.
Yeah, so this is why we talk about these things and why we get angry. Just FYI. Emily explained, well, she'll never stop talking about feminism. And finally, Brian returned with 4 points of clarification because people kept misunderstanding our, not even arguments, but just, you know, legitimate concerns.
I believe the fallacy that was in effect was moving the goalposts.
Just a little bit. And if you couldn't guess, we will be talking about casting later on, because that's kind of the big news.
What? We're talking about casting?
What?
What?
Are they making a new movie?
Something like that. And I guess it's time for Fixer's Flash. Sorry there's no soundboard this week, but we're having some problem with the soundboard. It'll be back next time.
Aww. Aww.
Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to in the last week or so. And we bought some comics.
We did.
And there's Bria's.
Finally.
Yeah, we jumped in on the X-Wing Omni and the Legacy Omni.
Yes. So
it was so well-timed.
Brian and I've been
trying to convince him to do it for ages.
Yeah, so Brian and I are going to read comics and blog about it. It's going to be called Bedtime Comics with Brian and Nancy, because Nancy doesn't like reading comics and has a hard time understanding the story. So we're going to read them, and I'm going to make Brian tell me what I just read.
The only thing I'm doing is pointing you the panel flow. That's yes. Really it.
Well, and plus it's like even in Union, because I got out my copy of Union for...
reasons.
Wedding for wedding related purposes. And there's the whole spread during the bachelor party where it's just there's no dialogue, and I'm like, but who's fighting who and what? I don't understand. Help. So yeah, but I'm looking forward to it, and I can finally read about Cade Skywalker and company. Woo-hoo.
Woo.
And as we alluded to, most of our time has been dedicated to planning a nerdy wedding.
Oh, we're less than 3 weeks away.
Why are you saying that with such dread?
That's really sneaking up on us.
No, it's not.
It's not dread, it's do we have everything ready?
No, that's my part to say. That's
and
what I've been doing.
My responsibility is to keep you from freaking out,
yes.
Apparently.
And you failed already.
I just get to show up.
Yep. Bria's got the easy part, man. Show up and dance and drink and eat.
I don't dance. You know this.
Well, you will be with us. You can just stand there and point and laugh at us.
It's okay. I can't dance either.
Point and laugh at us with Shane. Brian, you got a new toy?
I did, courtesy of Mara the dog destroying my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a fan of ThinkPads. They're very tough laptops, but apparently they cannot survive a 45-pound dog using one as a trampoline.
And, why did she end up jumping on it?
Because something was outside the window.
No, but why, shouldn't it have been closed?
It should have, yes.
What have we learned?
Close the laptop lid when you're not at the couch.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to learn this lesson?
Entirely two.
I think that this has been a conspiracy against me.
Yes, because if I really wanted a new laptop, I would make Mara feel sad that we're all upset at her over
breaking
a laptop.
She was avoiding us for a day.
I felt really bad about that. So new laptop. I've got a Microsoft Surface Pro 2 here.
Ugh.
It's a great, great machine. It's a hybrid tablet laptop, the perfect mobile podcasting studio rig.
Mm-hmm. You say so.
It is. I mean, we're recording on it right now.
Got to get that soundboard working, though.
Do have to get that soundboard working, though. That seems to be a problem with the iPad right now. But we'll get that worked out. But yes, yay, shiny new tech toys.
Yay. And yesterday came up with the best bit of fan casting ever.
With my help.
With your help, but it was me.
You took it to the next level, yes.
So Brian was saying that Idris Elba needs to play a role in Star Wars. And I concurred. And then we were trying to think of what Idris Elba could play. And Brian said, he could be a great smuggler. And I said, oh my God, he should be Talon Card. Boom, mic drop.
I am okay with Idris Elba playing a fringe suave smuggler. Yeah. I am A-okay with that.
Yes.
You can play anyone and I'll be happy.
I even got Dunk to agree that that was good fan casting, and she hates fan casting, so I consider that a victory. And really, that's all we've done. Bria, did you do anything funner than that? Well, you went to AwesomeCon.
Tell us about that. Yeah, yeah. For only counting the last week, I did nothing fun except work for a week straight.
Yeah, that sucks.
But before that, I was at AwesomeCon. I was there for 3 days, managed to moderate a panel with Timothy Zahn and survived it, thankfully. And actually, no, the best part was probably getting Zahn to give me the seal of approval on my Mara armor. That was an amazing point in my life, and I think I almost cried.
That is very awesome.
He broke down each and every little aspect of it and was like, well, this makes sense because of this, and then that makes sense because of that. And then this would make sense because of this. You know, it's really good for light combat armor and everything. And then he pulled me aside like 2 hours later. I was like, okay, so I was still thinking about it. And then this also makes sense. And I was just like, okay, I can die happy. I'm good.
you mean he thinks that combat armor makes more sense than a leather cat suit?
What?
He just said it made perfect sense for that sort of situation.
What?
That is my diplomatic answer.
What a crazy, crazy thing.
One of my favorite parts of the Icarus hunt is on dissing the cat suit.
I did ask him about the Icarus hunt in the panel that Janine moderated, though. Yes. I asked him for you, Brian.
Oh, thank you. And if you haven't read The Icarus Hunt by Timothy Zahn, what are you doing? Go get a copy right now.
Indeed.
Educate yourselves.
Educate yourselves, correct. And I think we're going to move on to Deke's Dirt. And Nancy, while you take the first note, I'm going to drop Bria from the call and bring her back in because apparently there's static in it.
Oh, no.
So take it away.
Okay. Well, yesterday was Pun Day, a.k.a. May the 4th. And Del Rey celebrated with a mini excerpt from the upcoming A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller. And it's Hera from Hera's point of view. It was time to move. Hera picked out the identifying transponder signal of a ship in the convoy. One button push later, her ship was that vessel, as far as anyone trying to watch traffic was concerned. With practiced ease, she weaved her freighter into the chaotic flood of cargo ships heading to the moon. None of these guys can fly worth a flip, she thought. It was just as well it wasn't a recruiting trip. She probably wouldn't have found anyone worth her time. I think we all like Hera.
I like Hera. I like Hera a lot.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yes, so that was a nice May the 4th gift from Star Wars Books. Over on Twitter, Del Rey also clarified the film novelization's place in the canon. People were wondering if those got put in with the Legends banner. And Kyle Newman asked about that on Twitter. The response was, the novelizations of the 7 films, including The Clone Wars, are canon. And I believe they later went on to clarify that they're canon where they don't conflict with later films. So, like, the part about Owen being Obi-Wan's brother, still not canon. But it's basically pretty much the same as it was before when it comes to the novelizations. So, yes, ducks are still there. Even though Panaka says sitting ducks in Phantom Menace.
Yeah, so that was canon in the film. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. And speaking of Hera, at WonderCon, there was a Rebels panel. They didn't really reveal a lot much more, but they showed a clip of Hera flying the Ghost, which was very cool. And they also revealed that Kevin Kiner is doing the music, and they released a clip of kind of the demo of the Rebels theme song, which is...
Hooray, Kevin Kiner. And I really liked the demo reel of the theme they're using.
Yeah, it was cool. And with more Rebels news on May the 4th...
Can we talk about the awesome costuming family that showed up at WonderCon?
Oh, yes.
The awesome, super diverse family that was in costume at WonderCon. And let's talk about how great that is, that we have a show that has so many different looking people. And there are costuming opportunities that never existed before for people who've never had someone that looks like them. And that's amazing.
Yes. I'm just impressed that there's a group already cosplaying as them before the show's even out.
Are we really?
Yes, seriously.
Are we that surprised, though?
I'm not surprised at all.
Just impressed.
Yeah. As Dave Filoni said, I hope you guys like the show.
Those are some tricky costumes, though. I mean,
yeah.
Those aren't just like, you know, thrown on a simple, not that flight suits are necessarily easy, but it's not just thrown on a jumpsuit or something. I mean, I'm impressed with them.
Mm-hmm. And what I really loved about this little teaser, Hera teaser clip, was how expressive the facial animations were. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like the artistic style of the Clone Wars, but I always felt that the actual models were a little too static.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Yeah.
Moving on, more Rebels news. The full Rebels trailer dropped yesterday.
Yes.
May the 4th.
Yes. And it was pretty cool. I liked the scene where it was the gravity turned off and they were flying through the ship weightless. And I'm like, that is very cool, because I don't think I've definitely never seen anything like that in Star Wars before. I don't even remember reading anything. I'm sure there's been books where they've had that gravity turned off, but that's just such a cool idea and like such a cool way to do action sequences that it seems like such a missed opportunity not to do that. So that was pretty cool. And I liked, what's his face? Kanan putting his lightsaber together. That it's, you know, he's being a Jedi is so frightening at this point in time that you have to keep the lightsaber separated. You have to put it together before you want to use it. So it's really like, okay, do you really want to use this now? I was reading discussions about the trailer, and people were saying that it would be really cool if after he uses the lightsaber, if the rest of the crew kind of gets on his case about it, and they're like, what are you doing? You're putting us all in danger, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that would be a neat idea to explore.
I think they're going to be able to explore some cool things with this, and I'm glad they're cognizant of how many force sensitive people are appearing in this show.
Indeed.
And the other big news, I guess it was big. The full Star Wars Episode 7 cast was announced.
Well, that didn't break the internet or anything.
No, I mean, it wasn't like the internet went and gave StarWars.com the friendly internet DDoS hug.
Now, just remember, they said it's not the full cast yet.
We'll have more on that later.
Yeah.
But who do we have we can talk about?
Well, John Boyega.
Yay!
Yes.
Wee! Yay!
I have not seen Attack the Block, but apparently it's very good, and everyone should go see it. So, Daisy Ridley, who is pretty new, I don't think she's got any major credits. So
she's probably the biggest unknown of this group.
They couldn't even find her birthday for 2 days afterwards.
Yeah. Adam Driver, who is best known for HBO's Girls. He was rumored before. Him and John Boyega were both rumored before. So those are...
Yeah, they were in the mill for accurate. A long time.
Oscar Isaac, who starred in Inside Llewellyn Davis, which apparently
Inside Llewellyn Davis
is also apparently also good. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Apparently, we have Netflix homework.
Yeah, every Star Wars fan has Netflix homework. The next name is familiar to everyone, pretty much in fandom, Andy Serkis, a.k.a. Gollum.
I love that he's already been cast as a mocap person.
Yeah. I'm like, I kind of hope he is actually on camera as like a normal dude. But yeah, Andy Serkis, that's kind of neat. Brian has learned that he also does, you know, live action roles, as in 13 going on 30.
That blew my mind. Wait, why is he not in mocap?
Movies on TV all the time, and I'm like, hey, Brian, you know who their boss is? He's like, no, should I? Like, it's Andy Serkis. And he was like, what?
I think the problem is I don't actually know what Andy Serkis looks like.
Well, now you do. That's what he looks like. So yeah, if you haven't seen 13,
he in the Prestige?
I
don't know.
As like himself?
Let's go to IMDb. The Prestige, IMDb.
So if you want to watch a funny rom-com, 13 going on 30 is really funny. And it's got Andy Serkis in it.
Yay. Hugh Jackman, Christian Bale, Michael Caine, Andy Serkis as Allie.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So yes, we learned that this actor's name is pronounced Donal Gleason, who,
I was not even close.
Who is, Bill Weasley from, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, part 1 and 2. And finally, of the new version of the new cast, Max von Sydow.
So, George Lucas wanted to make a Flash Gordon movie.
Well, you gotta get Ming the Merciless, I guess.
Can't make a Flash Gordon movie? Just go get Max.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. Everyone is already assuming that he's playing a bad guy.
And, of course, we have the returning Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and Kenny Baker.
Can I protest that Mark Hamill's name was not first in that list?
I agree.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, I have to. Especially if those rumors of him having the biggest role, because, yeah. No offense to Han, but he's not the Jedi Master.
No, he is not. He is not the Jedi Master.
I'm not biased or anything.
No. And can we just point out that we live in a glorious age of social media, gag reels on DVDs, and Carrie Fisher.
She's already been tweeting wonderful things from the set.
We've seen a documentary entirely about her.
If someone from Lucasfilm doesn't just have a camera trained on Carrie at all times on set, they are doing their job
well,
wrong.
Well, I said the beginning documentary from Phantom Menace is just so good, and there's so many good Ewan lines from that documentary. I'm like, oh God, please give us that with Carrie. Please, 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 please.
What a time to be alive.
Right?
And
I would also like to note that in this cast picture, Adam Driver is giving the best bitch please look.
That really is fabulous.
And also that Harrison Ford is in that same cross-legged position, and like he looks like he's looking at J.J. Abrams like, how the hell did you get me to agree to do this damn movie? And Daisy Ridley's wearing Converse shoes.
And meanwhile,
she's so adorable.
And meanwhile, Mama Carrie is looking over at Daisy, like, let me just tell you.
Your life is now ruined.
Your life is ruined. If JJ tells you that you can't wear a bra, you come to Mama Carrie and I'll go slap him for you.
Yep. And Mark Hamill and Anthony Daniels are channeling the still living spirit of George Lucas and wearing their flannel.
George.
Also, Lawrence Kasdan. Also, Lawrence Kasdan.
Although, doesn't Mark wear flannel everywhere?
He kind of does. He wears t-shirts and the flannel shirts over it, kind of like you.
That's. But that's because I'm from Seattle. That's our thing.
I think he's just a nerdy dude.
Sorry, I have to turn the gain up on Nancy a little bit.
Oh, well, not loud enough?
Okay. No, speak up, speak up.
Well, I'm always too loud. I always listen to the podcast and I'm like, God, I'm so loud.
Peg the meter. It's time for Big's Bullshite. Episode 7 rumors, and there are still rumors to be had. This week, the popular one is rundown of casting speculation and theories. There's some good ones going around.
I'm going to
have a rant.
Can I give my favorite one?
Yes.
That Donald Gleason is playing Luke's son.
I'm okay with
that's
this.
That's a good one.
Oh, God, please be true.
Now, Bria, you mentioned you have a rant.
Yeah, I think we all do.
Like the one time. No. Not about that. This was nothing to do with that. Okay. This was the one time I poked my head out of the sand last week because the rumor was that someone was saying that Lupita was going to be playing Asajj.
Yes.
And I am 3,000% not okay with that.
How does that work narratively?
Forget narratively. I have a huge problem with, I mean, not that they've done this, but if they do this, I have a huge problem with them casting their only black woman as an alien they're going to paint white.
Yeah, that's...
Particularly, sorry, I told you I had a rant. Particularly because this franchise has picked up a pattern of taking women of color and making them into aliens in the live action films. Still sore about Adi Gallia being an alien all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
Yeah. I'm definitely with you
on that one. I still think it's a long shot she's in episode 7, but if she is, I hope she's not playing an alien.
Yeah.
No, agreed. And like honestly, I hope that applies to I'm hoping they will cast woman of color in this final unknown female role that they're still looking for someone for. But I sincerely hope they do not cast her as an alien because that'll just tick me off more than I am now.
I mean, it would be such a hollow victory.
Yeah. It's not even a victory, to be perfectly honest, in my book. It's not.
No, it's really kind of an insulting slap in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, sorry, that was my one angry rant. I'm good now.
No, that rant needs to be out there because that's one people don't really understand.
Yes.
Part of the casting speculation and theories is the confirmation that more casting is to come. But under that confirmation is a rumor that may have more legs than others, that one thing that is yet to be cast is a major female role.
That would have been nice for them to put in the official casting announcement.
Yeah, that would have been good to say.
I mean, you know, it's almost like they didn't think people would pick up on the fact that there's only 2 out of 13 women in this picture and only one new female cast member. People wouldn't be upset about that at all, would they?
That and it led to the easy, you just doubled the number of women in Star Wars joke.
Woo! Well, you can only have one girl per trilogy.
More on that later. Club Jade had a great cast analysis. Dunk put together a really nice one. Nancy, do you have that up right now?
I do.
Okay, break that down for us.
Basically, a lot of people have looked at the cast picture and see how people are sitting, basically saying that's giving us clues as to who's going to be working with who, that sort of thing. Because apparently when they do table reads, that's how they sit people, which, you know, people have said that they might have staged this picture.
I wouldn't put it past them,
but it looks too casual to be like that. Like, I mean, I understand they're actors and everything, but it looks really candid. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that this is where actually everyone was sitting. So if you go on that, basically you've got Harrison Ford, Daisy Ridley, and Carrie Fisher and Peter Mayhew all sitting in the same area, which would give you the Solo family and Chewie. Daisy Ridley looks like she could be the offspring of Han and Leia. So people are speculating that she's a Solo kid, which would be fine in my book.
Yes.
I kind of it's an interesting idea of them having only one child, because we're so used to three and then two and then kind of end up getting...
Wait, so Troy Denning was just preparing us for this.
Apparently.
Oh, not cool.
That was a low blow. No. I'm sorry.
But, yeah, and then we've got Donald Gleason, Anthony Daniels, Mark Hamill all sitting together. That's kind of where the speculation about Donald Gleason being Luke's kid comes from. He could also just be some sort of Jedi who is mentored by Luke. 3PO's over there because, you know, 3PO. And then we've got Andy Serkis, Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, and Adam Driver kind of all sitting together. People have speculated that John Boyega and Daisy Ridley and who is the other person? Donald Gleason might be like the new kind of big three, with each of them having like a mentor, Han, Leia, Luke type of thing, which I think is a kind of a neat idea. And the big rumor, or the speculation before him, was that Adam Driver was going to be playing a villain character. He certainly looks the part, but it's hard to tell from the table read. Also notable is that Max von Sydow was not at the table read. I have theories about that, which we'll talk about next. But another speculation was that the younger guys are kind of all Jedi, and like all of Luke's mentees, or maybe all adopted kids. I would be fine with that. Of course, my favorite theory is Gleason being Luke's kid because he's got red hair. You don't even have
Nancy?
To mention her name, and you throw a bone to everyone. Every EU fan. You don't even have to mention her name. You don't have to confirm it. You don't have to say anything. And everyone will be happy.
You could also mention her name. And
yes, but I'm just saying, if they really don't want to, you know, confirm, go that far and have Mara actually be mentioned and piss off the people who don't like the EU, they can just, you know, say something like, you've got your mother's hair. You've got your mother's attitude.
You know, I think the film purists who would get pissed off like that are as much of a minority as the EU purists who are going to get pissed off no matter what episode 7 does. So,
I mean, if she is in the movie, I could have my whole Hugh and I remember Merker very differently line.
But honestly, we think about it, the majority of the people who see this film will not give a damn either way.
Well, the thing that makes me annoyed is...
So they might as well throw it in, is my point.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, the thing that makes me annoyed is that, like, in discussions I've had with people about Luke being married and, you know, why I think it's important for him, his character, and the Jedi, and then people have said it doesn't make sense story-wise because Luke, you know, jumping 30 years later and Luke being married is going to be too confusing. I'm like, how is that confusing?
What?
It's 30 years later, he met someone, fell in love, got married, they had a kid.
So
that's not confusing.
So you assume he just did nothing for 30 years?
Well, that's what people are like.
Was he frozen in carbonite for 30 years?
I mean,
I was going to make that joke.
I beat you to the punch.
Well, I mean, the arguments people use against why they can't bring in any sort of EU elements is it'll be too confusing. Because you can't. And I'm like, you don't, like, the... I mean, I joke about the "you and I remember Merker" line very differently, but like I point to that line from Avengers as the perfect way of establishing backstory between characters. And you don't, it's just a line that's funny. And it says something happened between these characters where they were in a dangerous situation. And one interpreted it this way and one interpreted it the other way. And that's all you need to know. I'm like, people think that movie going audiences are stupid. And they're not.
Okay, I'm going to rein us in and bring us into Cammy's concerns. So we can.
I think we're already there.
Yeah, we're already there, but we'll just make this an official now.
Well, no, can I go back to another rumor?
Yes, we can go back to another rumor.
Okay, because basically all of the main cast for Rebels has been announced, except for who is voicing the Inquisitor. So the big rumor was that they were saving that announcement because the Inquisitor was also going to be in Episode 7. And Max von Sydow was not present at the table read. And if you watched the full Rebels trailer, the voice of the Inquisitor is a older British gentleman. So they really just need to come right out and just say that it's him and get it over with. Because JJ, stop with your damn secrets already. We can figure it out.
If that is a secret, it's going to be blown when Rebels premieres.
Yeah. I mean, it might not be him, but
someone is going to put out on a website somewhere that the voice actor for this character is X.
It's really...
You can't keep that one secret.
It's really suspicious that he's the only actor they haven't announced. And yeah, that's my theory.
Yeah.
I know Brian from EU Cantina agrees with me, so I'm not crazy.
No, you're not crazy. Okay, yes, it's time for Cammy's Concerns, in which we're going to delve deeper into the casting announcement. And I think we agreed before the show that we're gonna get our criticism out of the way first. Mm-hmm. So what do we start with? I think we start with how right now of the main cast, 2 out of 13,
mm-hmm.
2 out of 13 are women. Two out of 13 are minorities.
Yep.
Bria, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's a very good ratio.
Nope.
No, it's not. But as terrible as it sounds, I wasn't surprised.
I hoped
for better, but I've been burned too many times. And I just saw the list and went, again? Okay.
I was really hoping that
not there to say would that be, I was angry. But.
Yeah. I was really hoping that there would be more than one female character, especially after Rebels, the announcement of the Rebels characters.
And some other film Disney release that made $1 billion.
A lot of money. Frozen, you know. It's not asking much to have two women, and it's not necessarily saying we want two women that both have, like, leading roles. It could be, you know, one who's got, like, a Leia size role and one that's got like a Shmi size role. You know, the prequels were doing better until it got to Revenge of the Sith, and I don't know what happened there.
Well, I know what happened. They cut out the political side, so you get anything Mon Mothma.
Exactly. Yeah. And cut out a lot of Padme's agency. I happened to check Twitter a minute after StarWars.com tweeted the announcement. So I got it before the internet went dead. And I was like, okay, Brian, I can log this. And I was, you know, typing up the cast.
Which
and
was
like,
good because I couldn't get to anything because the entire internet went down hard.
And I said, I remember thinking because I was reading through it and I basically just looked for Mark Hamill's name first. And then I was, okay. Because I was like, if they don't...
There's my comfort blanket.
Well, if they didn't confirm it here, I was going to be really, really annoyed. But, and then I was looking through and it was like, oh, John Boyega. Excellent. Daisy Ridley. Excellent. Adam Driver. Okay, he was rumored. Oscar Isaac. Don't know who he is. Looked him up. Oh, cool. And then Andy Serkis.
White dude.
I'm like, and it's, I mean... Unfortunately, you know, saying 2 out of 7 minorities, unfortunately, is kind of good considering other movies.
It's progress.
It's sad progress.
It's not happy progress. Yeah. That's unfortunate. Yeah. That's progress.
But then I read through it all and I was like, wait a minute. There's only one new female cast member. And that's when I got really annoyed and got really...
I will say that in, you know, my at being extremely hopeful, and then hopefully Disney's fans. My guess or my hope is that they had intended to announce whoever this uncast female role is. They hadn't intended her. They had intended to announce at the same time, and her role was probably also a leading one, if not like a very high supporting one. But they just couldn't pick the actress in time, and they wanted to have it out before May the 4th. That's my guess, my happy, vaguely positive guess, and
yeah,
maybe it'll come true.
People have, you know, jumped the gun and been like, well, you don't know, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley might be the leads, which would be fantastic, but it still doesn't make up for the fact that there's two female characters out of 13. And, I mean, frankly, in Star Wars, the female characters get the shaft, and they're not, they don't play the bigger roles that male characters do. Clone Wars did really, really well in fixing this and gave us a lot of awesome female characters. But that's one of the reasons why this is kind of so frustrating, because you have a show like Clone Wars that specifically created a young female character to encourage girls to watch the show. And then you've got Rebels, which they said early on, there will be two main female characters. And I mean, it's two out of three, four if you count the droid, which that's, two females, three guys, that's good.
That's pretty close to parity. Yeah. That's pretty neat.
And then this. And
yeah, that's part of what I think fueled the annoyance and all of the blog posts.
Yeah.
Was that you saw this cast listing, and it was this enormous step backwards.
Yeah.
From a franchise that had been doing a lot better. Yeah, so that definitely fueled the disappointment on a lot of people's parts.
Yeah. But I mean, I think some people were, people were angry. I don't necessarily believe it's any sort of malicious thing on J.J. Abrams or anyone involved in Star Wars part, but I just wonder, like, one of the things we were talking about earlier is that why it's so frustrating when people say, well, you know, the women and minorities will have parts in the story if the story demands it. Why the hell would the story not demand it? Like, are people not allowed to be in your story?
Well, Bria, let me ask you this.
Yes.
As
the woman and minority on the podcast.
Yeah, boy, this is going to be such a leading question.
Have you stopped beating your wife?
Yeah. So how do you react when someone tells you that you should calm down and reserve judgment because there might be minorities and females cast as secondary characters?
I sigh and give them the look that says, shut up. I don't think it's anyone's place to tell anyone else how to react, unless you're being like completely off the wall, like freaking lunatic, in which case, okay, like everyone takes some deep breaths. Let's not throw any like personal attacks.
And that's the thing. So much of the reaction we saw throughout the blogosphere was really remarkably admirably tempered.
I thought so too.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree. But to me, I mean, we've been talking about this for what, a year and a half now? And saying that Star Wars needs more women and it needs more minorities. And yeah, you know what? I'm really proud of the fact that they cast John Boyega. Like, that's amazing. And there is a world I'm living in where he's going to be sort of the Han of the group and Daisy's going to be Jaina or whatever, Solo daughter, but totally Jaina. And then we're going to end up getting to see an interracial relationship starring.
I hope that's true.
That would make me so very happy.
that is my dream. And also that John Boyega will not be playing Lando's son, but that's a whole nother rant. come on. There's more black people in space than Mace and Lando. Come on.
Sadly, but, there aren't. That's part of the problem. But
I mean, I just... telling people that they should be satisfied with one person as representation, like, that's not okay. I mean, straight white guys can walk to a theater and see, like, 12 people in a cast any day, and the story very rarely demands that.
It's just so patronizing when they tell you that.
Well, and then there was the blog commenter who was like, well, what if you can get into stereotyping if you feel like you have to have a person of each... you know, race or whatever, and like was started listing off all these stereotypes. And I'm like, but those aren't characters. Those are stereotypes. And your story is going to be awful because you're writing based on stereotypes and not based on people.
Yeah. I mean, if the only way you can fit these characters of color and of female characters and minority characters is to write them in stereotypes, and you're a hack writer, and I don't want to believe, and I do not believe that the team handling episode 7 are comprised of hack writers. Yeah.
I mean, like, to say, oh, they'll be added if the story demands it, it's just, it's terrible, and it's reeks of terrible writing. I mean, writers have biases. And I've talked about this before. It's that when I write a character, usually if I don't think about it otherwise, she's a straight white female. And then I say, okay, you're doing it again. You need to stop and think about what the character could be. And it's gotten to the point now where I don't do that anymore because I've trained myself not to. And it's fine if you're a writer and you have a bias and that's what you do. But the point is you have to recognize it, and it's not done maliciously. It's just done because maybe
you have a default setting that you have to be cognizant of.
But I mean, we're talking about people who live and work in Hollywood, and someone like J.J. Abrams should be able to write a script with all kinds of people and not resort to stupid stereotypes and be able to think and go, huh, could this character be a girl? Or, oh, does it matter what ethnicity this character is? No? Okay, then we should just put out a call for whoever.
See, I think what happens... Go ahead, Bria.
I say, it makes, like, as far as, like, what ethnicity any character is, it literally makes no difference except for, like, for a very small number of characters. And that small number of characters would be the children of Han and Leia.
Yeah.
Because those are the only ones that I'm betting the script demands must be white.
Yeah, natural.
And I think we've talked about it before that, like, Star Wars is a license to print money. I mean, if you're not gonna take, if there's nowhere else where you can take chances and, like, have a nice, wonderful, diverse cast, Star Wars is the place to do it because it's going to make $3 trillion.
Yeah.
Without even trying.
Episode 7 is going to cross the $1 billion barrier easy.
Well, and then we were discussing before how people say, well, what if it's a Katniss style role? And I'm like, well, people who say that are forgetting all of the other women who are in the Hunger Games.
Yes. And first off, when you say, well, what if Daisy Ridley has a Katniss sized role? We'll be very excited if that's the case. I will be cheering if that's the case. But that doesn't make up for the disparity in the rest of the cast.
Yeah. I mean, like, this isn't 1980s anymore. You can't get away with having a Smurfette. I mean, Leia was so groundbreaking in the 1970s because she wasn't a woman that needed rescuing. I mean, not in the traditional sense. Maybe she did need rescuing, but then, you know, she took charge and...
Well, then they subverted the trope. Yeah,
and it was great. And for the time that came out, yes, it was great and progressive. And it's not like we're not going to judge a work on when it comes out. Because, like, when I was doing How Many Women Speak in the Trilogy, I was like, and this kind of makes sense. And then I got to the prequels. I'm like, oh, it's great. It's a lot more. And then Revenge of the Sith. And I was like, what the hell happened here? My God.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hold a film coming out in 2015 to the same social standards as a film that debuted in 1990 or 1977 or even 1999.
Yeah, it's not acceptable anymore, and you can't get away with it. I mean, and one thing I was thinking of earlier, how we're at the point now where there's been, Black Widow's been in 3 Marvel movies now. That's right? Three. And she's been a pretty big part in 2 of them.
Yes.
And people really want a Black Widow movie. And then you've got Wonder Woman, who is now apparently going to be in some movies, but we still don't have a Wonder Woman movie. And it just kind of seems like people are saying, okay, you can be part of the team. You can even star in the movie like Katniss, but you can't be equal. Because if you ask for the same number of women as men, that's crazy talk. Or the same number of, you know, minorities. It's crazy talk. And I'm like, why? Why can you not have an equal number of men and women? Because that's what real life looks like. And I mean, I even said, like, I was going through the people who work in my office. I'm like, we have 11 people. We've got 6 women, 5 men. We have 2 people are Black and 2 people are Hispanic. Like, they didn't try to make it that way on purpose. That's just how things happen, because that's real life.
Yeah, and I guess my final note of criticism before we get to the stuff that I'm really, 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 really excited about is sort of shooting back at people who say that diversity will hurt the story or the narrative. And my counter to that is what will destroy my willing suspension of disbelief is seeing a predominantly white male cast in a space opera. Because that ain't that makeup just doesn't make any logical or intuitive sense to me. So, yeah.
It's like the Jedi Council in the prequels versus the Jedi Council in the Legacy of the Force books.
The white male sausage fest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so any last parting remarks of criticism we want to get out before we dive into the stuff we're really excited about?
We're rooting for you, JJ. Come on.
We believed in you. We were all rooting for you.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
My last word will be that I'm disappointed, but I am hopeful with what else we might see from them.
It's also kind of hopeful that it's not just, you know, the usual suspects who were saying these sorts of criticisms.
No, it was very mainstream. It was not just, it wasn't just us or Trisha or Dunk. It was
pretty much a lot of people.
Yeah, it wasn't just the people you're tired of hearing
a
from.
A lot of guys, a lot of mainstream websites and, you know, mainstream geek sites, so.
And okay, I've got one last final word.
Yes.
The reason we're writing all of this and talking all of it about this now is to sort of raise awareness of it so they can do better next time.
Yeah,
because
we've
still
got
two more episodic films and standalone films that can be better.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the Club Janitors were saying that they were so excited when one of the Naboo pilots was female. And they were just like, they were so excited about that because they'd been saying for so long, you know, why don't we have any lady pilots? And, you know, just one was enough to make people so happy. So, I mean, we can make people see where we're coming from and realize that we're right.
So let's talk about things we're excited about. And I'll kick this off with, hey, Nancy, you might see Luke in an X-Wing again.
I might see Luke doing a lot of things.
You might see Luke pop up on screen for the first time, reach up to the hood and pull it back.
I hate you. I want him to fight in a lightsaber duel so badly.
And win it easily.
In the style of Return of the Jedi. Like, where he's just so cool and confident. Yeah.
Okay, I know you've got some stuff you're excited about with this casting announcement.
Oh, you mean the stuff I actually jumped the gun on before?
Yeah, so we can rehash that.
Okay, my dream, my absolute dream is that we get Daisy, that she's Jaina Solo. That's really all I want. I don't even care. Well, I do kind of care a little bit, but like, I don't care that much if she's not like a carbon copy of like the Jaina we got to know in the EU. Mm-hmm. If she like happens to be a good pilot, I'll be really excited. But I need my Solo daughter. I need it. I want her to be the hero of this trilogy so freaking badly, and I think it could happen. I'm being
could
really hopeful.
Could you imagine if that's how it turns out, and she like is the hero, and the whole story rests on her shoulders, and it's like, this is what Del Rey was denying Jaina for so long. That's one of the things where I want, like,
and I would love to see episode lessons 7. Learned. Yeah, I would love to see episode 7 mm-hmm. hit it out of the park on the first swing.
Yeah. Lessons learned yep. from the EU. Don't push the daughter to the sidelines. I mean,
yes.
You don't have an excuse now if she doesn't have any brothers.
Yeah. And as much as I, like, you know, I already got my little rant about how much I would love to see John Boyega playing, like, the male lead, and him and Daisy ending up being the couple at the end. I would especially love it if she doesn't necessarily have a love interest in the first film, and like, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I want to see her like be that Solo daughter and establish herself as the hero who's going to save the galaxy. Cause that's what a Solo and Skywalker girl does. And it'll be amazing. I'm done. Sorry.
I want her to have some one-on-one Jedi instruction time with her Uncle Luke.
Aww.
Aww.
I know. You're so sweet.
What if we see her flying the Falcon?
Oh my god.
What if Han turns the keys over to her?
Flying lenses with Uncle Chewie!
Do Brian.
No, that's what I want now. I want to see her and Chewie fly the Falcon yes. and him just like, you know, you not getting knowing what Chewie's saying, but her just being like, I'm doing it. I'm flying casual. What more do you want from me? And just
now just imagine her saying at some point, come on, baby, hold together.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
Carrie in the background rolling her eyes. Jesus Christ, what have I done?
Oh, I need this to happen now so badly. So badly.
I would just like to reiterate to J.J. Abrams that the secret keeping about characters and who actors are playing did not work for you last time. So please, I hope you at least tell us who people are playing before the movie actually comes out, because I need to prepare myself as to whether or not Luke is married and or has a kid.
And if Max von Sydow is Khan, just tell us now.
I mean,
he better not be. He's white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really need to know, like, because I will be able to prepare myself to, you know, to deal with it. But if I walk into that theater and I, you know, wait to find out and it's like, oh, Luke, I'm like, God damn, I told Brian, I'm going to get up, storm out of the movie and then come back a minute later to watch the rest of it. But yeah, it would be, I really hope that they tell us some about who people are playing. But since they haven't, I'm going to hope that Donald Gleason is Luke's son. Please. Please.
I don't even care if he's adopted. I just want Luke to have family.
I mean, it's just important. He needs to not be of the Jedi of old. He needs to make a clean break. And that's one of the best ways to do it. And also, you need to make more Jedi.
Yeah, that gene pool is a little barren yeah. right now.
And okay, even if he doesn't have a kid and he's not married, then can we at least get a bone thrown to us where someone mentions a report from Master Jade? Just please. Like in Revenge of the Sith with Quinlan Boss.
See, I I would love that. Short of seeing Mara on screen, wouldn't that be awesome? Just get a throwaway. Maybe Han looking to Luke's son and saying, you better write your mother. You wouldn't like Mara when she's mad at you.
I mean, yeah, really.
Now you just made me think of what throwaway line I really, really want.
What's that?
Just something about a report from Master Duron. I don't understand.
This is why I kind of wish, I know some people would hate this idea, but Dave Filoni doing episode 7, because he would do all that stuff.
I just want, like, you know, Master Duron's on Kessel today. He just sent in his report. I'm sorry, I'm done.
Or who else? Who else could they mention?
Master Horn's taken his squadron to,
Yes.
To Corellia.
Yes. Master Horn. Can Talon...
We could sit here and do this all day, couldn't we?
We really could.
And I mean, they could have Talon Card, and he comes in and...
Is Idris Elba what?
Yeah. Have, you know, Oscar Isaac or whoever, or one of the guys playing the new smuggler role, and they work on the wild card. Why not? You want to mine things from the EU? I mean, hello, is there any smuggler better than him?
Nope. Wait, I got it. Idris Elba is Card, and Lucy Liu is Shadow Dukal.
Yes. Actually, someone mentioned Ming-Na Wen as Mirax.
Can I just have Ming-Na Wen in Star Wars? I don't care what role. I just want her in Star Wars.
She wants it. Yeah. She wants it. Are cast you kidding her, me? She's a giant Star Wars nerd.
So if Samuel L. Jackson... Melinda May. If Samuel L. Jackson can...
Force his way onto Star Wars. Yeah. So can Ming-Na Wen.
Right?
I mean, the possibilities really are endless. And this... It's not a perfect cast they've assembled, but there's some neat possibilities with who they've got here.
I'm actually really excited to see who they have Andy Serkis playing, and I have a feeling it'll be a CGI character, which I think is, I mean, not necessarily like inspired, but I think it's a brilliant choice.
The guy can teach a master class on mocap work.
Yeah.
So
I mean, like, that's your perfect example or chance to have aliens in there. So, I mean,
yeah,
use them.
Absolutely. And I'm mildly curious as to what Adam Driver is going to bring to this, because I only know him as the dude from Girls.
And I've never actually seen Girls, so.
This is cool.
Can I say that Mark Hamill's tweet the night they announced the cast made me grin so hard?
I can finally say it. I'm in.
Oh, I was like, I want to pinch your cheeks, man. You're so cute. Meanwhile, Carrie's like, I don't know, talking about chapter 7 or episode 7.
Carrie has been so far Twitter's international treasure the last week.
Yeah.
Last week, always.
This is true, but it's especially true now. She has brought her A-game onto Twitter, and it's been delightful. If you're not following Carrie Fisher, you're wrong.
Yeah, indeed.
And we have to be excited that we're going to see Luke, Han, and Leia on the big screen again.
It does make me happy.
This is the thing that was never, ever, ever, ever going to happen.
Other things I'm looking forward to... I really hope that there's, you know, a lot of good big three interaction, especially with Luke and Leia, because that's one of the things I think we were really robbed of in the movies, is a chance to see them as siblings, because it's basically, hey,
the books rather.
Well, no, in the movies, I mean, it's like, true, yeah. Hey, I'm your brother. Now I'm going off the Death Star.
Yeah. The reveal to Leia was so last minute. They couldn't do anything.
And
with
even in the books, I mean, there was
that was maybe the biggest.
They did a bunch of stuff
failing of
with
you.
They did a bunch of stuff with Leia, like kind of dealing with Anakin and Vader and all that stuff, but like the Luke and Leia interaction always fell flat for me. And one of the reasons I was looking forward to Crucible, when I read the blurb and found out they were going to be together for most of the time, I was really excited. But again, it just fell super flat. And like, I would love to see them have that sort of sibling relationship that they never got to have. And, like, just to see them goofing around with each other and remember that they're, you know.
I want
to
see Leia teasing Luke on screen.
It'll be freaking adorable. I mean, you look at the pictures of them, like, when they were making Star Wars, they definitely could have that relationship.
And
so.
I want Luke and Han to have another that bad, huh, moment.
Yeah. I don't want the movie to focus on the big three, but if they give me, like, a good Luke and Leia scene, you know, like, I could see, like...
In one scene, they can make up for 20 years of shortcomings in the expanded universe.
Like, imagine if, like... I'm going to call her Jaina for lack of a better name, you know, goes off with Uncle Luke on some mission and like Han and Leia are seeing her goodbye and like Leia's like, you know, take care of my girl or something, or Han or Luke's like, I'll take care of her. And Leia's like, she can take care of herself or something like that. You know, just something like, you know, remembering that this is family. Like, which is one of the reasons I want Luke to have a family, is because Star Wars is so much about family, and the books forget that too. Yeah. It'd be make me happy.
Yeah. You could get it for an entire trilogy, guys.
I know.
An entire trilogy.
It's going to be amazing.
Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm probably going to cry when I see the Falcon on screen again.
Yeah. If any of us make it past, like, the opening blare of Star Wars coming on the screen without choking up and stopping.
Yeah, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it as soon as A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away shows up.
I mean, I did. And to be fair, I've already done that several times. So special editions, I cried when I got to see Star Wars in the theater, and then prequels, all three of them. Well, I spent the whole second half of Revenge of the Sith crying my eyes out. So it doesn't really count.
So much to be excited about.
I thought of something else that I was gonna say and I forgot.
I can't believe we have to wait so long for it though. That's gonna kill me.
I know.
Like almost a year and a half, more than a year and a half. I can't do it, guys. We need a support group.
Brian and I could have a kid by then.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Right? Isn't it?
Good God.
Yeah, and can I say I'm also hopeful over what Alan Horn said, that Star Wars may move back to May release schedules.
Yes, please.
Can I, for no other reason than it's so much easier to coordinate get-togethers in May than it is December.
Yeah, seriously, I don't have enough vacation days in December to, like, peace out for 2 days and...
No one can afford airfare in December. No one can...
I know.
Yeah.
If it goes back to May, then we can bring all sorts of people here. We can all watch a new Star Wars installment in the theater together. It would be great.
Mm-hmm. It'd be during Star Wars weekends.
It'll make more sense for them to have Celebration in April, which I'm still bitter that they haven't moved it.
Yeah, okay. I think they were past the point of no return.
Yeah.
By the time they moved.
I think when they announced the release date for episode 7, they said, shit. We've already locked ourselves in. I know.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll have more heads up if the release schedule changes again, so they can coordinate future celebrations better.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, wait. I'm trying to do the math here, but ran out of fingers. If I remember the teaser trailer for Revenge of the Sith dropped in November.
Yeah.
So does that mean for Celebration they might debut the first?
They could. I could see that.
Uh-oh, I think we lost Bria. Oh, there you are.
Because that would be about the right time frame, right?
Yeah.
I think it would be.
That would be very
Nancy, getting emotional.
We have to go to Celebration.
I'm pointing at my stomach. I can't control these things.
It all depends on if someone is great with child.
And probably won't be.
It's not me, in case anyone's wondering.
Because apparently those things take time.
By the way, Bria, if you go to Celebration, we've got extra space in our room.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, good.
We do.
Oh, good. I'll find some. I figure between all the people I know who are going, someone will put me up.
Yeah.
I'll just show up and go, all right, guys, who's got space for me?
Mara the dog would like to request that Mara Jade be in episode 7. Her tail is wagging.
Oh, Mara the dog. You're still canon in our hearts.
I know. Still canon.
Okay, so we're all excited about episode 7, contrary to what people are saying.
I remember what I was thinking about before. I'm really excited for all the fanfic.
You know what? Lucasfilm is never going to authorize the Legends film universe crossover we all want, but gosh darn it, the fan fiction writers are going to do that for us.
How many fanfics are there out there where they put Mara in the original trilogy? I might have written one of those, and I probably will write one for episode 7. I mean, let's be honest here.
And if you take what Zahn says, you know, as long as there's nothing in the new universe that says Mara Jade does not exist.
Yeah.
Because she's there somewhere.
Yeah, because she was the Emperor's hand. And if you take, you exactly. know, what, you know, if you take what happened during the original trilogy, whatever, I mean, the stuff afterwards is not what's going to count. But, I mean, you could still have Luke and her meeting on Merkur. I mean, unless they come right out and say Merkur never existed. But I mean, that's kind of stupid. So yeah, I can pretend she exists and she's a Jedi going around her business. And they can get Timothy Zahn to write a book with her in it. What?
And
see that oh my god, if they start writing like sequel trilogy tie-in books with all the Jedi, like give us Jedi from the Legend series and fit them in.
That really would be great. And one more thing I'm excited for is the return of Starfighter combat, because you know that is right up JJ's alley.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I don't even have to see Luke flying in the dogfight. I mean, but if that happens, I would take it.
Now, can I kindly request that you dump whatever amount of money it takes to get Dennis Lawson to swallow his pride and come back for two lines as General Antilles.
He won't do it.
He won't do it. They could CGI it, though.
That's true.
Or they can just recast it.
Or they could just put some old man makeup on Ewan.
Oh, God.
No, we need our solo Obi-Wan film in the desert. Well, and that reminds me, like, when I was talking before about how people think that people are dumb and are not going to understand how Luke was able to fall in love and get married to someone in a 30-year time span. Because apparently they need that explained on film. And I'm like, well, you can have his wife in a movie and then make a standalone movie with younger actors. There you go. There's your money. Print it. Or write a book. Why am I able to think of these things? Should hire me.
Because the other people don't want to try and think of them, Nancy.
I know. They should just hire me.
Nancy Schwartz is sending in her resume to the Lucasfilm Story Group. Okay. I think we're gonna wrap this up. Any last parting thoughts on the casting and episode 7 in general?
I'm just excited to see what happens.
Yep. Please hear our concerns and give us more awesome things.
I'm excited and hopeful that they will cast another female character. While that won't fix the disparity in the number of female to male characters in this cast, it would still be great to see, and I will celebrate if they do it. And
make Daisy Ridley Jaina and the lead.
Yes, please. And I cannot wait to see the words "A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away" on a big silver screen again. Content sigh. Okay, we got one last thing to do. We've got an Ask Us Anything question from the Star Wars at Dragon Con Twitter account run by Brandy, who runs the track there. For our money, The Star Wars track at Dragon Con is the best Star Wars fan track at any convention you're going to go to. So if you're in the area, you should go to Dragon Con. If you're not in the area, you should make plans to go to Dragon Con because it is great. You will have a great time and we'll be there on panels. So you should come. Brandy asks, you had a Star Wars themed engagement. Can we expect a similarly themed wedding? Well, this one's addressed squarely to myself and Nancy. And Nancy, we'll go ahead and let you answer that.
Well, we're in our office right now, which has turned into wedding staging area. And I see a suspiciously shaped white, small white trash can that may be used for some purposes. Painted. I see lightsabers that have been fused with knives.
Oh, dear.
To make some sort of a cake slicing device, maybe? A copy of Union?
Yeah. And
an R2-D2 bucket to hold
that,
things in?
That doesn't even get into our playlist.
Nope.
There's a whole lot of John Williams in there.
Yeah. Disco and non-disco.
So, short answer, yes. Oh yeah, you bet there is. And, you know, I think we're just going to turn over the Itachi Station Twitter account to Bria that day.
Pretty much.
What? Me? No, what? Why me?
Because we'll be busy. Not that I won't be tweeting anyway.
Can't we just take a break that day? Since we're all going to be there anyways.
Well, no, not for blog stuff, for like embarrassing pictures of Brian and Nancy stuff.
Oh, in that case, I'm perfectly fine. I was going to do that for my own Twitter.
Oh, no, you've got the keys to the official Tashi Station account for that one. Embarrass us on an even larger platform.
You say that like I didn't already have the keys to the station wagon, Mom and Dad. Come on.
I told Brian that as soon as we walked in the aisle, I wanted to whip out my phone and take a selfie. Just married. Oh, God. Just
and
married.
I'm still trying to convince Nancy to put into the reception script that Shane needs to announce the ceremonial changing of the Facebook status.
You don't have to convince me of that. I mean, it's, yeah. I'm probably going to be live tweeting our reception. What a bunch of a-holes.
Nah, you guys will be too busy.
What a bunch of a-holes.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap up the show there. Hey, Bria, where can folks find you online? Did we just lose Bria?
Never.
I'm on Twitter at... Nope, I'm back, sorry.
There we go.
I cut out for 3 seconds. We're good. Editing, guys. We don't do it.
We're fine. We're fine here.
You can find me on Twitter at ChaosBria, and you can find my geek fashion blog. The URL is whitehotroom.com.
Excellent. Okay. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the blogs. Help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with @LaneWinry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network. We are available on the iTunes Store and now Stitcher. Check us out there. Leave a review if you like what you hear. It does help us grow the show. Oh, I'm stumbling all over this. Can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Thanks for listening to another episode. We will catch you all next time.
Bye.
So long.
May the Force be with you.
So long. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.